It's been more than 3 months since astronaut and flight engineer Scott Kelly joined the Expedition 43 crew aboard the International Space Station. Kelly and Russian cosmonaut Mikhail Kuryenko will spend about a year living and working aboard that station. To help scientists better understand how the human body reacts and adapts to the harsh environment of space for a long period of time. Shortly before the failure of a third try at getting supplies to the space station, I spoke to Kelly for an update on the mission. He says astronauts don't feel isolated.
We have a lot of interaction with people on the ground in a professional manner. The different control centers, not only in Houston, but Huntsville, Alabama, for our payloads and our payload systems. Control center in Munich for the European Space Agency, Scuba Japan for the Japanese Space Agency, and also in Korolev outside of Moscow in Russia. And, you know, we work with those guys all the time. They got our backs. They're watching the systems on board the space station, keeping track of what we're doing. And besides them, we have, you know, interaction with our management via email and video conferences, which is very important, but also, you know, with friends and family at home. So, yeah, we have a lot of interaction with folks on Earth.
And with respect to the bandwidth between the space station and Earth, what is that like and what kinds of files are you able to exchange in a reasonable manner?
You know, I don't know the number for bandwidth, but because the systems on space station, how, you know, the ground monitors the systems and what kind of bandwidth that requires is something that's transparent to us. You know, we can send an email that might be, as long as it's less than 10 megabits, it'll transfer, you know, in a reasonable way. We take a HD video that sometimes, you know, we could have a file that is, you know, hundreds of gigabits. Now, it might take a few days to get to the ground, but, you know, we have the capability to do that. The ground sends us high-definition movies, so, you know, that are gigabytes large. So, you know, we have pretty good bandwidth here. And, you know, I never really get the sense that we could use much more. A little more would be better, but we're in pretty good shape.
And describe a typical day. I mean, are you on a 24-hour cycle up there?
Yeah, we keep, you know, a Greenwich Mean Time day. We wake up at, you know, between 6 and 7 Greenwich Mean Time, and different crew members wake up at varying times. But we all need to be ready for the a morning planning conference we have with all the different control centers, and that's typically around 7:30 in the morning. You know, and then between then and the evening planning conference, which is also around 7 or, you know, 7:30 p.m., you know, we have various activities, whether it's science, all different kinds of science experiments. There'll be 400 of them going on for the year I'm here to, you know, maintaining the system, just normal, like, routine maintenance or fixing things that have been broken, exercise, doing outreach events, things like this. So, you know, we have a pretty busy day. And, you know, I think the workday up here basically is from the time you get up until, you know, a couple hours before you go to sleep.
It sounds like with the degree of interaction with the ground as you go around the world in the different countries, it sounds like there's probably a little less privacy and maybe a less feeling of isolation than you might have in a normal job in an office somewhere.
Yeah, sometimes you do get the sense that you're living in a fishbowl because you do have cameras on inside the space station. Now, if you wanted to, you could turn them off. Some of them you don't have very easy control over, but you could. But, you know, it's kind of important that that monitoring capability is there, because very often, you know, we could be doing something and the ground will, you know, see that maybe, you know, we're making a mistake or there could be a better way to do a certain activity and they'll call us. So, yeah, you do get a little bit of a sense you're being watched, but it's not really in a bad way. It's kind of in a helpful way.
We're speaking with Expedition 43 flight engineer Scott Kelly from the International Space Station. And recently there have been a couple of failures of launches of supplies to the space station. What is the reaction up there when you hear about a thing like that?
When we heard about it, initially we were hopeful that, you know, the Russian Space Agency was going to be able to figure out the problem and then, you know, get that resupply ship here, because it did have things on there that we need. Now, none of those things were things that we couldn't live without. And the reason being is because we, you know, we plan for these kind of failures, you know, in this business and, you know, such a challenging environment, these kind of things do happen. And, you know, we have redundancy built in. We have a SpaceX resupply vehicle, Orbital, sciences will be flying again soon, and the Japanese cargo ship. So it's it's good that we have this partnership, this kind of redundancy, and we plan for it, and we're able to deal with those kind of things happening.
You are up there for a long time, I guess a year or so. What are some of the, I guess you could call them, psychological tricks or techniques that you use to overcome concentrating on the length of stay and to try to keep it normal feeling even though you look out and you're 250 miles up in the air?
Yeah, so, I was lucky, I think, that I had flown a long-duration flight before. It was 159 days. The crew on board here, this is day 198 for them, and they're leaving tomorrow. That seems like a long, 200 days to me. Haven't been here 159 days. Seems like a long time. So obviously, a year is longer. But, having that experience, I recognize that I have to just take it day by day. I have to pace myself. I have to get enough rest, get enough exercise, not think about how many days I have left. Someone suggested that instead of counting down, just count up. Look at it at every day as, something you've achieved that you can put in your back pocket and think about it as the number gets bigger. It's a good thing, and don't think about how many days you have left.
And what are the rules of the road for human interaction? I mean, you can't get along with everybody all the time, and you can't exactly go out and walk around the block. So how does that all work?
In my experience, in my four flights, the people I've flown with have been absolutely awesome, top-notch people. And, maybe I've just been really lucky, but I've never had any kind of personal interaction issues that or in any way, any kind of significance. But, I guess these things can happen. And, we have ways of dealing with it. We do get some guidance on how you would, resolve a conflict if there was to be one. And I'm sure it's happened on other flights, but I haven't experienced that. And I can't, I can only say great things about the people I've flown in space with.
And I guess I wouldn't be able to do this without asking you how the food is up there, because apparently that's something that NASA works hard on to keep constantly improving.
Yeah, they do a great job. The variety is important. And, not only NASA, but the different, space programs. We have Russian food. We have some European food. I have a Japanese crew member that'll be getting up here next month, and we'll have some Japanese food when he gets here. So, they work really hard at it. One issue, though, is fresh food. We don't have things that are fresh very often. It's only when we get a resupply ship, and that stuff doesn't last very long. So we really look forward to that. But, it's good. It hasn't really gotten fatiguing yet. I suspect it probably will at some point, but it's, something I expect and something that I'll have to accommodate.
And there was recently a handing over of the command in the space station from one person to the other, Commander Terry Virts to Genndy Padalka. What happens? Is there a lot of formality, or is it pretty much a low-key type of affair?
It's somewhat formal in that, on any ship, like the space station, is a ship. I think of it more of a like a Navy vessel than it is a an aircraft or a spacecraft for that matter. So it is important for the to have a very positive change of command on any kind of ship, and we'll do that in a little kind of formalized ceremony. The details of it is kind of up to the crew, and we'll do it on the NASA television channel. And the most important thing there is everyone needs to be very clear on when that occurs, because there are responses to certain emergencies that the commander commander on board the space station is the person that has the the ultimate responsibility and authority in those situations. So it's very important to have a clearly defined change of roles.